Hello and welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program will be one of Bix's fellow musicians, his friend Don Murray, clarinetist, alto saxist, as well as baritone saxist. I will give some biographical information about Don Murray after I play a couple of numbers. So let's start with the music directly. And the recordings are going to be presented in chronological order. First, I'll play Sobbin' Blues and Mr. Jelly Lord, a New Orleans Rhythm King session of July 17, 1923. Paul Mares on cornet, George Bruni's on trombone, Leon Rapolo on clarinet, Jack Pettis on C melody, Glenn Scoville on alto sax, tenor sax, Don Murray, clarinet, tenor sax, Jelly Roll Morton, or Kyle Pierce, as shown on piano, Bob Gillette on banjo, Chink Martin on brass bass, Ben Pollack on drums. This was recorded in Richmond, Indiana. Both Sobbin' Blues and Mr. Jelly Lord have Jelly Roll Morton on piano. This is a mixed session in the sense that there is one black musician, Jelly Roll Morton, and the remaining are white musicians. Let me read to you what Richard Sodhalter tells us about this recording session in his magnificent book, Lost Chords. By July, they were back in Chicago. They, meaning Paul Maris and Leon Rapolo, they had been in New York and working in a small band with Al Siegel at a Greenwich Village night spot called Mills Caprice. Al Siegel, of course, is the fellow who married B. Palmer in Davenport. But, he says, so by July they were back in Chicago preparing for another series of Jeanette recordings under the New Orleans Rhythm Kings name, scheduled for Tuesday and Wednesday, July 17 and 18. Rapolo and Brunis were ready and willing. Jeff Pettis was in town and available. The rhythm section would be Martin, Pollack, Skinner's pianist Kyle Pierce, and banjoist Bob Gillette, a Friars in regular. Of course, Bob Gillette was a banjo player for the Wolverines in the following year. There were also some guests, and it is at this point that conjecture must assist documentation. Two extra saxophonists, Don Murray and Glenn Scoville, were present and are heard in various combinations. But it is not their presence, or even that in a strictly non-playing role of Murray spelled Beiderbecke, that has made these 2 days of recording fascinating to historians. It is rather the participation of Jelly Roll Morton. So apparently Bix Beiderbecke was present in the Jeanette Studios in Richmond at the time that these recordings were made. Popular music in 1923 was still rigidly segregated. Black and white musicians might play together on riverboats or after hours in Southside joints. They might hang out together, even if the accounts of Mesmero, Big Burton and others are any indication, drink and smoke muggles together, but interracial appearances on the job or in a recording studio were strictly off limits. Let me see, what else can I say here? The NORK men all knew Mr. Jelly, as Paul Maris's brother Joe told it. Morton, sufficiently light-skinned to pass as a Latin American when entering all-white establishments, actually had come to the Friar's Inn to talk to the trumpeter and Ropolo about recording some tunes he'd written, which Melrose was planning to publish. If Walter Melrose was underwriting this date, as he had the last, it's not beyond supposition that he had some conditions, among them that most of the tunes recorded would be Melrose properties and that Morton, a Melrose artist, would be given a crack at performing his own compositions. That seems to be the way it worked out. How much did Morton play on these dates? Historians disagree, and Jeanette's muddy acoustic sound doesn't facilitate easy identification. He's clearly audible on Millenberg Joys and on his own Mr. Jelly Lord and London Blues. What little piano can be heard on Sobbing Blues, a number popular with both black and white bands, could be more. So let's then listen to Don Murray with the New Orleans Rhythm Kings in 1923. Thank you. want to move to 1925. Bix had joined at the end of 1924 the Gene Goldcat Orchestra for a brief period. Early 1925, found him freelancing, and he got a contract with Jeanette for a recording under his own name. And he recorded on January 26, 1925, under the name of Bix Beiderbecke and his Rhythm Jogglers, the Jogglers being Bix on cornet, Don Murray on clarinet, Tommy Dorsey on trombone, Paul Mertz on piano, and Tommy Gargano on drums, mostly musicians from the Gene Goldcat band. And the two numbers they recorded that day successfully were Toddling Blues, a La Rocca Shields composition, and Davenport Blues, Bix's immortal composition, the only composition he ever wrote for orchestral purposes. Bix has a nice 32-bar solo here, and Murray has a 4-bar solo towards the end. So, let's listen then to Don Murray with Bix Beiderbecke and his Rhythm Jogglers in 1925. Thank you. Allow me to give a brief biographical sketch of Don Murray. This comes from Who's Who of Jazz, Story Revealed to Swing Street by John Chilton. Don Murray was born in Joliet, Illinois on June 7, 1904. He died in Los Angeles in California, June 1929. Son of a minister, attended Englewood High School in Chicago, later studied at Northwestern University. Played tenor with the New Orleans Rhythm Kings around 1923, then moved to Detroit to join Gene Goldcat, doubling baritone. Except for absences through illness, remained with Gene Goldcat until September 1927. During this period, made recordings with Big Spiderbeck, later did extensive freelance recordings. Work in brief-lived Adrian Rollini Big Band, September-October 1927. Then regular work in Broadway theater orchestras, mainly under the direction of Don Voorhees. 1928. Joined Ted Lewis as a member of Lewis Band, took part in the filming of Is Everybody Happy at the Warner Brothers Studio, Hollywood. While working on this film, Murray met his death. He was found unconscious. The head injuries that he sustained were alleged to have resulted from his falling against a parked car. He was taken to hospital and appeared to be making a recovery, but ignored doctor's orders and resumed drinking. He died shortly afterwards. There are several versions of how he fell. One of them is that he was on the little platform that the old cars had and fell backwards and hit his head on the concrete street. Anyway. Now I want to continue with the music. I want to play a couple of recordings that Don Murray made with Goldcat before Bix joined Goldcat for the second time. This is 1926. These are from April 23rd, 1926, Camden, New Jersey. Fozzy Ferraro and Ray Lodvick on trumpets, Spiegel Wilcox and Bill Rank on trombone, Doc Riker, Jimmy Dorsey, Don Murray reeds, Joe Venuti violin, Lou Congo piano, Howdy Quixell banjo, Steve Brown string bass, Chauncey Morehouse drums, and Ross Morgan is the arranger and director. And the two tunes that I want to play are Give Me a Little Kiss, Will You? Huh? It's a Turk, Smith and Pinkard tune. And follow that with The Lonesome and Sorry, a Benny Davis Con Conrad tune. So let's listen then to Don Murray with the Gene Goldcat Orchestra in 1926. Thank you.
for fearing
for your lonesome and sorry. Oh, say near as me.
Gene Golcat organization band dissolved in September of 1927. Expenses were too high, and some of the members of the band went on to Adrian Rollini's New Yorkers band. One of them was Don Murray, and during this period they all did a little bit of freelance recording, and Don Murray was no exception. On November 15th, 1927, he recorded with Joe Venuti's Blue Four two tunes, Penn Beach Blues and Four String Joe. Don Murray on clarinet and baritone sax, Joe Venuti on violin, Frank Signorelli on piano, Eddie Lang on guitar. And it says here, possibly just Justin Ring on cymbal. Let me read to you from the nice booklet that comes with the set, the classic Colombian OK Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang sessions from Mosaic. Let me read what it says about this particular recording session, November 15, 1927, when Venuti and his mob landed in Atlantic City during the summer. They set up residence in one of the many family-run guest houses around Pennsylvania Avenue. The avenues ran east to the water. All were named after states, and one only needed walk a few blocks to be on the beach. It was in the vicinity where Pennsylvania Avenue met the sand that Joe and company liked to carve themselves a little slice of beach. Venuti finally got around to honoring it in song for this date, which brought a couple of old friends into the fold. Saxophonist Don Murray, who Joe first met in 1924 while with Golcat in Detroit, and Frank Cheech Signorelli on piano, a paisano from one of their first visits to Manhattan in the early part of the decade. Murray fits like a glove on baritone and clarinet, as does Signorelli, though the violinist greeted him a Dixieland player, presumably not in Arthur Schott's league. Few were. Still, this second team is every bit as good as the two new titles prepared for the session. All four instrumentalists were extremely inventive individually and possessed the ability to create mini arrangements on the spot. This they did on a daily basis for the many small group sessions they were a part of. So Eddie's idea for an introduction on Penn Beach Blues finds everyone creating a part in and around the guitarist's riff. Murray comes up with an ascending bass line, Venuti mirrors the guitar with double stops, and Signorelli adds some spicy touches on the piano. There was nothing subtle about Joe Venuti's music. He was an aggressive player who drew a big sound from the instrument. None of this detracted from his heavenly tone and a sense of phrasing that was, if anything, operatic. From his first recorded violin solo, 1924, with Gene Golcat, Joe had been wrapping his bow around the instrument for most of the 20s. He never restricted himself to solely focusing on single, sometimes double string playing. A guitarist as well as a pianist, Joe saw The violin is an accompanying and rhythm instrument as well. The driving force behind his playing was his big beat, which he applied every time he put bow to string. When he went to four strings, Joe expanded his improvising options and brought another dimension to his playing. He could now take on the role of an accompanist or rhythm player, and in him, each band found an instant string quartet. On four string Joe, the band gets around as hoed down as possible for a bunch of city slickers, as Venuti spans all save the last chorus on four strings. He saws away at the violin, playing chords and punching out rhythmic phrases. In one very exciting moment, he and Murray on baritone shake things up during the violinist's second solo chorus. Eddie's single string chorus contains two bars of hot picking followed by another two measures of funky bends in the lower register. This is written by Mike Peters, guitarist and Eddie Lang specialist. Okay, so let's listen then to Joe, to Don Murray with Joe Benuti's Blue Four in 1927. Thank you. Undoubtedly, Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang were an amazing pair of musicians. Okay, I would like to move now to 1928. A couple of recordings by Jack Pettis and his Pets. This is June 20, 1928 in New York, with Bill Moore and Donald Bryan on trumpet, Paul Wigan on trombone, Don Murray clarinet, Jack Pettis clarinet, C melody and tenor saxes, Spencer Clark on bass sax, Al Goring on piano, Eddie Lang on guitar, Dylan Ober on drums, and on the first selection that I'm going to play, Hot Heels, Clay Bryson is on banjo. And then the next selection doesn't have the banjo, is there, it's Broadway Stomp. Both compositions, Hot Heels and Broadway Stomp, were by Pettis and Goring. Goring was the pianist and arranger for the band. So let's listen then to Don Murray with Jack Pettis and his Pets in 1928.
Thank you.
As I said before, in 1929, Don Murray joined Ted Lewis and made several recordings. I want to play a couple of those. Both recorded in Los Angeles, California. First, from May 26, 1929, Louisada Blues. Correction, that's from June 4th, 1929, Louisada Blues. And then, from June 1929, the last recording that Don Murray ever made, it's I Love You, My Love Song, vocal with by Ted Lewis. And this will bring to an end the part of the program in which I featured a bunch of recordings by Ted Lewis. So, let's listen then to, I don't mean Ted Lewis, I mean Don Murray. So, let's listen then to Don Murray with Ted Lewis's orchestra in Los Angeles in 1929.
Than words. That saying is old, honey, and may be true. You know by my actions how much I love you. And I just can't help telling you, too. You know that I love you at dawning, the whole morning through. and I love you each afternoon. And honey, I love you at twilight, when the soft shadows creep. Oh, what makes the day end so soon? Oh, babe, I love you while sleeping, and you're in every dream. I love you. Oh, I love you. I love you. What more can I do? And I'm sad, sad 'cause I know that a lifetime's too short to tell you how much I love you. What more can I do? Oh, I'm sad, sad 'cause I know that a lifetime's too short to tell you how much I love you.
I haven't played a recording by modern or contemporary musicians for quite a while. I thought it was a very good idea at the time, and I did play a lot of modern musicians following the 1920s recordings that I was playing. So I want to get back to that, and today I'm going to play one track from a CD entitled The Rhythm Boys featuring Spats Langham. And it's a WVR1002, Hello Baby. And the track that I want to play is If You Don't Love Me, a tune by Jack Yellen and Milton Egger. The musicians, the rhythm boys here, are Tom Spats Langham on guitar and banjo and ukulele and vocal, Mike Durham on trumpet, Norman Field on clarinet, alto, and C melody saxes, Paul Monry on trombone, Keith Nichols on piano, Franz Jostrom on bass sax, John C. Hallen on string bass, and Pete Soulsby on drums. This was recorded at the West Jesmond Cornet Museum on March 1st, 2006. So let's listen then to Spats Langham and the Rhythm Boys in 2006, If You Don't Love Me.
What a beautiful day, not a cloud up in the sky. Guess I ought to be happy, but I'm not, and you know why. Pretty flowers in bloom, little birds every tree. But if you don't love me, dear, what do they mean to me? The birds are singing, what do I care what they're singing? If you don't love me, the spring is springing. Why do I care what it's bringing? If you don't love me, the sun is shining, but it don't have to be. 'Cause rain or shine, what does it matter to me? My heart is aching, what do you care if it's breaking? 'Cause you don't love me.
Well, these rhythm boys are really terrific. They bring back the sound of the 1920s with great authenticity. They have been playing at the Big Spiderbeck Memorial Jazz Festival in Davenport for the last 2 or 3 years, and I enjoy them very much. I believe they may be in Davenport again next year. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.